Here we are, episode 4, UVU. This title of the episode is called The Food Formula. First and foremost, my name is Dave Woods and...
Alicia Morales.
Not to be confused with Miranda Morales, who is the identical twin of Miles Morales. Nah, I just made that up. That's not true. But it'd be a great comic book. All right. So, the food formula. Here's a little bit of an update for the accountability check-in. It had been almost three and a half weeks since my last time in the gym. And that broke my heart. But it was necessary because I moved. I moved from Valley Village to Pasadena. And you know how it is with packing up, moving, unpacking. Unpacking is the worst part. Just resetting up. But in that time, I also was able to spend more time with my daughter. And so there's been the balance of work, moving, family time that has severely limited my time at the gym. But then it was cool because I snapped back into the mindset of saying, okay, let's try this. Let's try, despite all of this, to continue to go and then just to carry off. So I had left off on week 4, day 2. Then the 3.5 weeks happened, and this is day 3 going back to week 4 and not acting like there was a gap. So that's showing a little mercy to myself in terms of saying there was a brief hiatus, but it didn't become a rut. Those were very legitimate reasons to not go to the gym, but it's cool because my core started to ache, and I was having pain in the sciatic nerve and hamstrings, and it was because I was starting to lose what I had gained, and went back to the gym and immediately felt much better, immediately out of the gate. So this is day 3, back at it, and I'm here. I weighed in at, oh man, I should have done it right before I came here. You know, here's an excuse that's very valid, but I'm trying not to make excuses anymore. The batteries were dying on the scale. And I bought the batteries to replace them, but didn't do it immediately. And so, mea culpa. If I had to guess, I'd say 242. So I am seven pounds from my goal. And I'm back in the saddle for finishing it out for 8 weeks. And the mind is sharp and set with the heart of a lion to do this. So, without further ado, I want to give you another key, and it is the food formula. It's very easy, very simple. You can memorize it right now. If I were to distill this, everything that I know when it comes to parameters around food, it would be this. It'd be this truth. The calories burned must be greater than the calories in, consumed, right? So the more the calories that you burn in a day need to exceed the calories that you take in a day. And then you will succeed no matter how you go about doing it. All right? So what's that food formula? Pop quiz hot chat. All right. The calories burn must be greater than the calories in.
Okay. Right. So do you recommend counting calories?
Oh, man.
Or yes. Just swinging it?
Okay. So, I'd say at first you need to know the raw data that's coming in so that you can actually know what you're dealing with, because there could be certain things that are putting you way, well, out of the gate. If this is day 1 and you've never been in the gym, there's that lifestyle shift that's going to happen. It's going to be a shock. But to have the numbers for meals is really good at first, and then you can go from there with loosening it up. So for instance, it'd be, oh, before I didn't count calories and ate whatever I want, ate everything in sight, everything was fine, but then I was out of shape, right? So let me just go through the last week of what I ate before I started doing a gym routine. You would be saying, oh, that daily recommendation of, 22,000 calories or 2,200 calories, between 2,200 calories and 2,500 calories. That's the average daily intake suggested. Well, some meals are that. That's 2,500 calories. You go to Outback Steakhouse, that's well over, right? You go to You have two double cheeseburgers? Yeah, you are. That's one. That's that one the daily intake, right? Yeah, right. That's one cheese. But the, for the day, right? So it's like, okay, well, if that's the case, what happens? How do you feel about dessert? If you're throwing dessert in there, you might not know that you 100 calorie cookie, 200 calorie cookie, if you eat five of those, that's tipping the scale in the wrong direction. But the whole thing is saying, okay, this is what you used to do, and now you have that range for what you're actually taking in, and now you can put it up. I'd even say if you were to go off that average daily caloric intake of 2,500 calories when you didn't have it before, and you just went with 2,500, you probably lose weight real fast, right? But if you have to stick to that. So I recommend for new beginners, especially if it's going to be 25 pounds, 35 pounds, 50 pounds, let alone 100 pounds, that you find out what you normally are eating, and then you scale back severely to more of that range, right? Mm-hmm. If you have a background in weightlifting, you'll probably need about 3,000 calories anyway, right? But it needs to come from a good source, like the protein, and keep it balanced with those veggies, right? That's that in a nutshell for your question. Should you count your calories or just wing it? I would say count them only for a time so you know what you're dealing with, and then scale it back so that you're in a caloric deficit with the calories burned over the calories in.
Cool. Yeah, because I know there is food scales out there, right? You know, there's different tools that you could use, in order to measure your food, and that probably applies also to the counting of calories, because scaling, having portions.
Oh, yeah.
Portions, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a foreign concept in America.
It's okay to indulge a little.
Yeah, every now and then, yeah, of course. But here's the thing. If your life is indulgent, that's where the problem comes in. Yeah. And that's where you're like, oh, well, I want to get in shape. How do I do this? Well, that's a tool. The scale is a tool to measure the food that you're taking in to get an accurate and precise number for the weight of food for a portion, and then the macronutrients within. So I'm actually not a huge fan of weighing your food. Although if I were to do something like some type of competition, we'll say a Spartan race, that's where I would do it, just to be really precise and accurate with what I'm taking in. So that, because that regiment is exactly what's needed to do a competition. That's not just you versus you. It's you versus a whole bunch of people for competition's sake. But it would be saying, okay, this is going back to one of the other episodes. Mm-hmm. There comes, with the goal, there comes a cost for what it's going to cost you to succeed in it. And so in that scenario, I would weigh the food for a while, just put that range in. And then when you can visually assess about how much you're taking in for a meal, that's when you can go from there. I went right now, not knowing and just having no boundaries, I'd say bring it, reset your mind with what a portion looks like. When you say, oh, hey, have a cup of coffee, and you know what that looks like? Yeah, it's pathetic. It's like the size of your fist. Right? That's a little bit less than that. That's a cup. Well, how much is a small? A small is like two cups, maybe two and a half cups. Mm-hmm. And you go to the movie theater, forget about it. That's a soda that you need a backpack to carry that, right? That in sum is saying yes, to visualize what a portion looks like, and then say, in reality, I know what this looks like when I didn't know what it looked like before, because that puts you in a better range for staying in the food formula. Cool. Nice. So we're going to have a slight little break of how I would normally just talk about an episode by asking you, Alicia. tell me about your journey,
about
your
my
step.
Journey.
Yeah, what did you do?
My you versus you testimony?
Yeah, let's hear it. Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah, I could start with my student life since I was... you know, at SciArch, it's an institute for architecture. It was open, well, it's open 24/7. So I would sleep in my car, right? So that implied for me to have my refrigerator by my desk, eat out, right, at the nearest little diner or restaurant around the Arts District in LA. Yes, we would go to happy hour. There was happy hour snacks. Hey, let's go. You know, like, okay, let's gather a group.
And Angel
we would
City.
All go to get, yes, exactly. Or to the Placito Vera, or to have some sushi, Thai food, Korean barbecue. Oh, yeah. And, you know, of course, we would have to come back to continue with our project. So, yes, it was constant looking for what's near around us. So, of course, you know, when you're a student, you don't really worry about what you're eating or where you're going. It's just, you know, it's part of life, and it's part of the student life that you should enjoy as well. But in my case, I did, you know, I let go of myself, where towards the end of my career, yes, I started gaining weight, and I did, after graduation, after the student life, right, what's next? I did let go of myself. I did go let go of my physical, right? And you saw my pictures, Dave. I was close to the 200 pounds, mm-hmm. right? Even though I'm 5'6", well, my weight should be at 147, which I am now. So, but let me tell you a little bit of my process. So, I was going through some emotional moments at that time as well, disappointments through life, and I did let go completely. Comes a time where it's like, okay, this isn't healthy. My body was already asking me to do something about it. So I started going to the gym, and all of a sudden, I don't know, it's probably, you know, just, you know, having God in your life that I started going to the gym twice a day.
Wow.
Day and night.
Awesome.
6 a.m., I was at the gym. 7 p.m., because it was a TRX class, at the gym.
Awesome.
So I started losing weight. And I hit 160, which thankfully that's what the weight that I weighed when I started my architecture career. I started feeling great. You know, you start seeing that people start seeing that you look good. And I started feeling emotionally, hey, put the pieces back together, right? So praise God. Yes.
Praise God.
You know, that's where I was like, wow, you know, you're. You start getting rid of clothes and you start buying a new wardrobe. Now, what was I eating? Because not only was the exercise, you know, I started doing portions. I'm not really too much about looking at calories. I'm really bad at that, to be honest.
It happens. Because the point is calories burned versus calories in.
But here's the thing. I would skip my meals.
Okay.
Is something, right? I'm not a breakfast person.
Okay.
Right? It's just out the door and, you know, what do I have to do? Like, I did leave myself as second. You know, whatever I have to do, like, my schedule wasn't, you know, I was all over the place. Not organized at all. So, I started making my milkshakes in the morning. Strawberries, my berries, my almond milk, banana, flaxseed,
know,
and that was my breakfast. So your metabolism starts to, hey, something's going on here. Yeah. Something's changing, right? So that's something that I noticed was very important for me, for my metabolism. Also, the breakfast in the morning. And throughout the day, snacks here and there, and still, you're able to indulge, but your portions, and to continue an exercise. So then the pandemic hit. And of course, everyone, you know, we all started to snack, right?
Well, they either got in shape like crazy, or...
or Uber.
Uber, yeah.
You know, we knew a guy who would bring us, you know, snacks and, or yeah, Costco, okay, order, you know.
Costco to keep the cost low.
And so then a little bit, I started gaining a little bit, not too much, probably like 7-8 pounds. Okay, cool. And yeah, I've maintained since then. And then into 2022, I did a spiritual fasting.
Oh, hey.
Nice. An Advent fasting. Wow. Does it make you more or does it make you less? Mm. Right? It was just a process, a change. Mm. And also to get to know myself. Mm. To do some restoration on myself and healing as well. And I am a coffee drinker, or I was a coffee drinker. Mm-hmm. But in 2022, November, I stopped drinking coffee because of the fasting.
Oh, hey, I remember that.
I detached that, from coffee.
Nice.
And, of course, of sodas as well. But I am, I was, since my student years, a coffee drinker. Uh-huh. 1-2 coffees a day. And with the guidance of my spiritual director, he said, are you sure you're going to be able to let go of coffee? I said, I think so. I don't think I don't think I'll need it. He said, okay, well, if you see that your body reacts and you feel like you're going to need it, you know, maybe you could little by little let go of it so that it's not, you know, you don't have withdrawal, right? Yeah. And I said, okay, sounds good. But I said, I'm going to let go right away. I was like, let me try it. And since then, since November of 2022, I haven't had I probably sipped a little bit of coffee, but I mean, like, it's not something that I need.
Mm.
And I feel good about that.
Wow.
I said, hey, that showed me that you could let go. And there you go. Let go and let God.
Whoa.
Okay. And that was part of my healing.
Okay.
And that also made me realize, if related to our lives, right? That's also something. But then I continued with exercising. The same thing, I joined the camp, boot camp, and that's what I do daily. First, I go to mass at 6:40 a.m., and then from there, I come back home. You know, you put your workout gear, and I go to the gym.
Wow.
And at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock, I'm at the gym, at the camp. And it's boot camp, and you know, they push you. My trainer, he's like, okay, come on, you got to do this. So you feel motivated to continue. You see the progress. You see that you're able to make a change. And so now with food, it's, you know, it's portions. And yeah. And since then, right now I'm at 147.
Well, hey, congratulations.
So praise God.
You praise God.
Oh yeah, I got my weight.
You got there. You did it. You also let every assassin on the face of the planet know where you are at 7 in the morning. Hopefully they will be inspired by your dedication and routine and say, you know what? I think I'm going to mend my life and I'm not going to be a contract killer. I can't. But the whole thing is that's impressive that you did some soul searching, that you came up with your goal, that you found what you could do amidst the trials and the obstacles of life. And said, I'm going to stick to this.
Mm-hmm.
And then within that sticking to it and fasting, you said to yourself, well, what else can I do? Because I've detoxed from this. I've detached from this.
Mm-hmm.
The possibilities are endless.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of sacrifice. But with that sacrifice came strides, just as knowing yourself as a woman of God. So that's really inspiring. And I hope our listeners say, oh, if Alicia did it, I can do it. If Dave did it, I can do it.
Absolutely.
So, thank you for sharing. All right. The food formula, we're going to just keep saying this to really bring it home. Calories burned must be greater than the calories in. All right. So and then we'll just say the taking that raw data of knowing what you've eaten recently before you started restricting your calories or going on a diet.
Mm-hmm.
That's the data that's showing you what leads to where you're at right now.
Exactly.
If you know this formula, calories burned need to be greater than calories in, you can approach the parameters in a clear-minded, strategic way of saying, I need to be in a caloric deficit, meaning the calories burned are more, are higher, are greater than the calories that you've consumed.
Mm-hmm.
So, intermittent.
Sorry.
Go for
it. It's not easy.
No need to apologize. I just cut you off how you cut me off. How
and
about that?
No, but
we're on the 405 right now.
And all I wanted to say was that it's not easy,
no.
Right? Of course, the willingness is not easy either. But if you really want to, you know, see a change, right? And if you really want to remove those layers of the weight, because your weight is also a reflection of your life.
It is. Absolutely.
It's a
bitter pill
uh-huh.
to swallow. Yeah.
So, yeah, you definitely, you just gotta push through.
Push it.
Push through, and it's possible. So, definitely, I do truly encourage, right, your listeners and our listeners, to not give up.
Yeah, don't give up.
Right, I have another question for you.
Oh, hey,
and
I'm ready.
This is part of this conversation. How often should we weigh ourselves?
That's really up to each individual. Personally, I'd say once every 2 weeks. Because in that journey of losing 100 pounds, I had the markers set up. So it would be, the first mountain is 25 pounds. The next mountain is 25 pounds. The third mountain is 25 pounds. The fourth mountain is 25 pounds. If I've been consistent and vigilant and steadfast, that is a downward scale every milestone, which is the 25-pound loss. So that second mountain, I'd be 50 pounds down. Mm-hmm. That third mountain, I'm 75 pounds down. That last marker, that last mountain is 100 pounds. But mentally, it's just saying 25 pounds at a time, 25 pounds at a time. So at the first 25 pounds, I didn't really... I wasn't watching too meticulously because it came off real fast because it was a shock to the system, right? Mm-hmm. And that actually leads into what I'm going to talk about is the eating right for your blood type, which was recommended to me, mm-hmm. right, as the parameters for what you're actually eating, not just what type of food. Well, it is what type of food, but foods that are beneficial, foods that are neutral, foods that are poison to you, which I'll get into in a little bit. But that was my restrictions around what I was consuming on a whole. Mm-hmm. And so it was, I'd have to look back at the journal that I was keeping to see how fast 25 pounds came off. But it was quick. It was really quick. And then the next part was, just lost my train of thought for a second. The whole point was saying how often do you check your scale?
Yes.
So I would probably check every couple of days, but the thing that I noticed was I felt better when I didn't check it frequently. Although when I was doing an official challenge, 8-week challenge at the gym, I would check every other day and I'd always be furious on Monday because I was strict Monday through Friday, and then a little bit looser on Saturday and on Friday, Friday night to Saturday, and then the day of the Lord, Sunday, relax. Yeah, that's the hard lesson that I'd say to people: don't relax your parameters on food on Sunday. You know, have it planned when you're going to do that. Don't just say, "Oh, this is what it looks like for these 8 weeks." Right? That's the whole going back to the beginning of the episode. If you're part of a competition, whether it be physical training or weight loss, that's when you be very strict. Because it's 8 weeks. It's not a year. It's not a lifetime. I always use the example of David Goggins, who was a very similar story in terms of losing the amount of weight, complete opposite upbringing and experiences. But he lost 106 pounds in 3 months, right? Wow. And if you look at his workout, you'd probably throw up. Be like, what? Are you a crazy person? Wow. Well, that's what it took. Because that level of intensity to get that end result required working out practically all day long. Like, he would take breaks to have a meager meal and study. And then he'd be back in the pool. Or he would take a break and study while he's on the recumbent bike, right? So that type of situation is completely up to you, the individual, on how they want to do it. My recommendation is saying, how can I lose it with the cards that I've been dealt, and then be able to maintain it later if I'm not going to be going to the gym twice a day. Mm. Because psychologically, you'll say, I can eat whatever I want because I've lost the weight and I'm going to the gym twice a day.
Right.
Oh, I'll have four cheeseburgers if I want because I can afford it, right? But that's not what your body says because your body adapts, right?
Exactly.
So long story short, I would weigh myself, like now, I'd say every 2 weeks, right? Yes. Every 2 weeks, because the way your body fluctuates with water weight, have you been sleeping well? What's that recomposition? You're losing fat? Yeah, you might be gaining muscle and losing weight, but all of a sudden the scale's not really moving, so now you feel a little bit depressed. Oh right, no.
Is that the plateau?
Yeah, the fake plateau.
Yeah.
The pseudo plateau is your body just became more muscular and less fat, but you've gained weight. Well, that's actually a good thing, right? Because now your body is more efficient for taking in the calories, burning the calories, your VO2 max, like how much oxygen goes throughout your whole body and your bloodstream, has increased. So you're winning. That's a win right there.
Right. Yeah. No, when I was working out twice a day, I would weigh myself every week. And I did see the change. Of course, who's not going to see the change in, working out twice a day? But my schedule allowed me to work out twice a day. Now, I'm only able to work out once a day.
Yeah.
And that's good enough, right?
Yeah.
That's good enough. Because also my schedule allows it. But definitely, I probably weigh myself like every 2-3 weeks. Yeah.
That, because your daily obligations allow you to be able to still train, but you've already hit that goal without setting the next goal or being in a competition. So that's the lifestyle that we're talking about. Everyone, if you want to be in shape, you have to imagine what that goal is for what that fitness is, and then do what it takes in terms of parameters up to hit that, have that dedication to do that consistently, but then say, oh, realistically, with the daily obligations I have now, what can I do so I don't go back, that I don't go into my default mode that got me out of shape in the first place? But then what's realistic, right? So the next thing would be telling you a little bit about the story of how I discovered the basic parameters around how I eat right now. And it was my last day in Hacienda Heights. I went to Mass at Our Lady of Perpetual Help. And this guy came up to me after Mass because he needed a little help carrying a box of candles to his car, like holy candles to his car. Older gentleman. I'll call him Jose. I'm not going to use his real name. His name. No, we'll call him Kike. Kike Jose, unrelated to the third member of Imago Dei, consistent member. So Jose just asked, he's like, oh, you look like a strong young guy. Could you do it? I'm like, yeah, no problem. So I picked up the box, and it was a ton of candles. I picked it up with ease, threw it on my shoulder, walked it to his car, and then helped him put it in. And he's like, wow. I thought you'd have a little bit more of a struggle than that. I'm like, what is this, a test? Why are you assessing? And he's like, oh yeah, you don't really look, and he was nice. He's like, you look husky. And that's the nice way to tell a dude, you're a fat guy, but you're also strong, right? And so I was a little bit, I wasn't rustled a little too much, but I was like, yeah, I'm actually used to people thinking that. And then it's like, until we get in like a, I don't want to say a physical skirmish or confrontation, but usually when it's something that demands physicality, people are like, whoa, you're actually a lot faster than I thought. Oh wow, you're a lot stronger than you look. I'm like, yeah, because you don't understand the body weight composition. You just see, oh, a large guy, right? So he said, hey, as a way of saying thank you, can I recommend this book for you? I'm like, sure. He's like, it's called Eat Right for Your Blood Type. Do you know what your blood type is? I'm like, yeah, I'm O blood type. He's like, oh, check this out. And he passed me the book. He's like, this is my personal copy. That's why it's all highlighted. I want to just give this to you because I think this might help in you losing weight. And I'm like, you jerk. Like, mentally, I'm like, who is this guy? Like,
yeah.
I do you a favor by carrying your candles, and then you make these unsolicited advice about losing weight. All right, I'm gonna see what this is about, but it sounds like some Atkins diet, whatever weight loss fad. Yeah, something that I'm just not interested in. But he said my favorite number, which is free. So he gave it to me and I looked it up. So I started doing the research and I was like, whoa, this is the summary of this. Or I should say the synopsis is that the way that your ancestors ate, your ancestors ate certain food, which set the tone for your genetic makeup that you have today. Some of the foods that are considered healthy are actually poison for your blood type due to whoever your ancestors are. And so you have food that's beneficial to your blood type, you have food that is neutral to your blood type, and you have food that is poison to your blood type. So if you have a sensitivity to a certain food group, an intolerance to a certain food group, or you have allergies, it might, that key to unlocking why you're sick all the time or have sinus problems or whatever it is might be due to the food you're eating and where your genetics are coming from. So it really helps to know what your blood type is and eat according to that blood type. I'm like, that's a crazy theory. Let's test it out. And immediately felt better. I was like, whoa. Okay, I feel like I've been lied to my whole life with this food pyramid. But that's a story for another day. plus, I think enough ink has been spilt on that topic. But the whole situation goes into putting up the parameters around food while knowing that food formula, calories burned, needs to be greater than the calories in. This is a major stone in terms of saying, this is how I eat, this is how I work out, this is how I rest. When you put all those things together, all of a sudden you're burning way more calories, and then you're taking in less calories and able to have a stable mind, right? You have your wits about you, you're able to go about your daily obligations, your work schedule, your social life, all of this, but you need to know what those parameters are and set them. You need to set them, right? So I took that to heart, and the first 25 pounds came off real fast because of that. Little disclaimer, I'm not affiliated with Eat Right for Your Blood Type. I don't know Dr. Diamo, I think that's what it is. Diadma. I probably should have wrote down that title or quickly looked it up right now, but I'm not gonna do that. Instead, I'll just say it's called Eat Right for Your Blood Type, and I swear by it, especially when it's time to do diet and exercise, right? Because if you found out that that you are gluten intolerant, or you have diabetes, this type of parameters would help slide the continuum back to healthy range, and your body would fall in line with it, right? So I can't diagnose everyone. That's for everyone to come up with themselves and then test it out. I'm a huge fan of giving it 6 to 8 weeks to test it out and see how you feel, right? Mm-hmm. So this whole thing is the combination of being in a caloric deficit, changing the way that I worked out, going from I'm working out to training, so I know what the plan is, I know what the goal is, to having the rubric set for what I eat. So all of this is to help people reach their goals, whatever it may be, no matter how large it is, and then to say, after you hit that goal, how are you going to live your life? If you just want to lose the weight for a competition but don't really care much more about the future, I'd actually recommend not doing that, right? Because it shocks your body so much that you will go back to what you were weighing before, right? But you'll have the mindset that, I can eat whatever I want. And that's actually what they call that a systemic issue, right? There's multiple things at play that are not set in order, and that's why everything got disordered, right? It's more than just, I need to lose weight, right? It might be a food addiction, or it's the coping mechanism for stress, right? All those things are up for you to find and then to address, right? So don't hold me accountable for that. How about we all hold each other accountable for our own goals? And so, here's a super easy hack that you can do, especially if you're counting calories or just trying to be more restrictive on what you drink. It's the harsh reality is there's so much sugar and high fructose corn syrup in a bunch of stuff that when you start looking at those labels and you're like, oh, I don't know if I can actually afford this, right? If I'm eating 2,500 calories a day and a soda has, like 200 calories a can, but you're not counting how many cans you're drinking, you might drink half of your calories without even knowing it, right? So
you have breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Breakfast, and so that's three. So that's 600 calories right there, right? So you can switch. You can make alternatives, right? So I'm a fan of just saying I'm going to drink green tea or kombucha. And typically, I'd say a brand that not only is low sugar, but is green tea, not black tea, because black tea has a lot of caffeine in it. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be wired all day, right? Water, but it is a special mixture. That's heat up water, do a pinch of pink salt in it, and then go really light with the honey, right? Mm-hmm. So the speaking of the scale that I'd use is when you take a spoon, the amount of honey that would cover your thumbnail, that's what I put in the spoon, and then stir it up and drink it, right? And this is really strict. It's gonna sound weird. The chemical reaction that happens when honey melts makes it less beneficial to your body. So I make it so when it starts to dissolve, and it's not, and when the second it disappears from the spoon, drink it fast. Don't let it sit, right? Because it becomes a compound that is not beneficial. At first, it's full of healthy nutrients and healing qualities, but that's something that I learned along the way. And then also because of I forgot an ingredient. Lemon. Fresh lemon.
So lemon, honey?
Lemon, honey, pink salt, heated water. Heat it up, right? So that...
It's like a tea.
It's like a tea. Yeah, it's like a tea. It's like a tea without the tea bag, right? So the whole thing there... Oh, and seltzer water. So if you... In 2023, we are living in the future of awesome seltzer waters where you can get really clean stuff that won't violate those parameters, right? So
won't harm your organs.
Yeah, won't harm your organs. And I probably will actually just restore more, be more restorative, right? But even though I'm not sponsored yet, I'm actually very open to sponsorship. So if anyone hears this and says, hey, I'd like to shout out my own brand, but you just mentioned it here, I'll pay, I'll take it. I'm sold already. So I won't mention the seltzer water brand names, but there's some awesome stuff out there where you're like, if you hadn't told me, I'd say this is a soda. This is definitely soda. Then you look, you're like, whoa, wait, this is just bubbly water with stevia. Like, what? This is great. This is great. So those are the drinks that I stick to, especially when I've set that goal of I'm here to train for 6 to 8 weeks and be more strict, right? I'll make an occasion for having some wine, maybe two glasses of wine, or having a beer, gotta know which one it is, or having a mixed drink, right? Those are strict. I have a strict policy with not drinking regularly while being on the program. And I go again to saying, if it's not just you versus you scenario where for 8 weeks I'm gonna be strict and it's something like a competition, I would say name that special occasion within those 8 weeks where you would have alcohol, because there's very little value that it adds to what your life. You can make the argument that it helps you relax or helps you socialize, or it's good for your heart having a glass of water. That's the excuse. There's no right. So the whole point is I'm not demonizing alcohol. I'm just saying that for those 8 weeks of being strict, you need to know where you're putting that, right? Because it quickly does become a habit. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, why am I gaining weight? I've only had two drinks, but didn't realize that that certain cocktail is like 400 calories, 500 calories. right? Oh, it's nice to have sugar on the rim or have all this other syrupy stuff in there. That margarita. Yeah, well, that is nice. But now you're looking at a calorie. There are drinks that have like 700. Yeah, oh, yeah, I need salt. I'll justify it anywhere I want. Yeah, don't be doing that, right?
Or what did I hear the other day? That beer is healthier than soda. That's what I'm like,
really? Depends what beer.
I know, depends what although, beer. Or do you want a beer belly?
Yeah, that's the price. Although there have been studies that have shown that a beer does hydrate you better than water after a workout, but you don't have to look hard to see it. It comes with a cost.
You mean like, right? Mowing the lawn?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, this is, people will come up with whatever to justify whatever they're doing. Myself included, right? So this is, episode 3, taking inventory, right? You need to assess real hard, look yourself in the mirror and say, am I saying this because I just want to justify what I'm doing, or is this benefiting you, right? So with that being said, it's the same thing for eat right for your blood type, right? If you want to go on a diet and then like just do a little research first and then apply it, this is what I did. So I can only tell you what worked for me. And go for it.
That's right. The importance of food, because I'm thinking right now, like when we get food comas, right? I don't want to say the name of like food places, but it's like the MSG.
MSG. Oh man. Oh my. Yes, that is the devil. The devil you know and the devil you don't. Uh-huh. Right.
It's insane. It's like, you know, it hits after lunch.
Yep. Yep, the itis.
I need a nap.
We call it the itis. The only cure is a 45-minute nap. Uh-huh. Yeah, so that means your body is going into like mild shock.
Yeah.
And is shutting down in order to break that food down. I'm not going to make any allegations about what places I think have MSG, but whenever you say, I'm in the mood for a very specific food from a very specific place, there's probably MSG in it. And it doesn't matter how you break it down, because it's sort of like steroids. You can put 3 different chemicals together and it forms MSG. So you don't have to say it has MSG in it, because it technically doesn't have MSG. But when there's that chemical reaction that creates MSG, bruh, you got MSG in that food. Look at those sauces. Are you kidding me? Right? Get out of here. All right. So let's touch on MSG a little bit. People say that there's actually nothing harmful about MSG, right? In terms of development, and that's just people hating on MSG. I would say that it has addictive properties into it, and that's what's tricky about it, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have to have whatever type of, I almost said a specific one, if you have to have this type of sauce on this type of food, or it's not the same, your body has realized how good that is, and it's on a dopamine loop, which has been engineered. Yeah, and it's been engineered to give you only that release when it's in that combination, and that's manipulative, right? So that's what my beef is with it. All right, so a little bit overwhelming, I guess, with saying calories burn needs to be greater than the calories in. And then the adjustments to what you're eating by weighing it or recording the calories so you can be on top of it. Here are ways to alleviate some of that stress and complexity by just making these little micro adjustments along the way. One of them is going for a 10-minute walk after you eat a meal, right? You say you have 3 meals a day. I'd probably need 4 or 5, but they're known. I know what I'm eating, right? If you add 10 minutes every time you have a meal, that can be, at the end of the day, 30 minutes of cardio, 40 minutes of cardio, 50 minutes of cardio. In applying that to your lifestyle is very doable. Right? Just don't, if you're at work, don't lollygag on what you're doing, right? Say, oh, I'm going to eat. It's going to take me 25 minutes to eat. And then immediately when I stop and go, ah, that was a great meal. Maybe you praise God again and say, thank you for that food. That's when you go for a walk and start the timer. It doesn't matter where you are. You can go walk one direction for 5 minutes, look at your watch, 5 minutes, and then turn around, right? you might look like a psychopath in a parking lot, just walk around the parking lot a bunch of times, right? No matter what you're doing, you can find a place to walk, inside, outside, wherever you're eating a meal, right? I'm sure someone will say something wacky like, but I'm a train conductor. Yeah, well, in that case, don't do that, because lives are at stake, right? but whatever the situation is, you can turn it into getting that cardio in. The other one would be saying, do push-ups, squats, sit-ups, or lunges, just body weight, right? And you can just come up with that number right now. I was to say, just for laughs and for giggles, if you can only do 10 push-ups, try doing 10 push-ups before you eat, right? 10 push-ups, eat your food, right? After that, go for a walk. All of a sudden, you might have done just 50 push-ups in a day because you incorporated that into your eating technique, right? How many squats can you do? Just do some air squats. Name that number. Do a little bit less, say 15. Do 15 every time you eat, either before or after. All of a sudden, you're starting to rack up that lower extremity workout, right? So the game that I like to play is say, how many can you comfortably do in a day? If it's only 10 squats at a time, at the end of the day, you might hit 40. So how many can you do in a week, right? Multiply that, that's 280. Then say, all right, that was week one. Well, how do you feel now that doing 10 at a time is easy? You think you do 15? Oh yeah, I bet you could try that. And then just record those numbers, right? So you're watching how many you're doing. And then if you're incorporating, you know, restrictions on what you drink, doing the bodyweight exercises and doing the walks, you're going to find you're burning way more calories than you're consuming. And so you don't even have to feel guilty about having three cookies one day, right? So these are just little things along the way that I incorporated and then was able to reap the benefits of it. So it's very manageable, very doable. And this is the whole point of this podcast, to say, at first, of course, it seems overwhelming. But where does it start? It starts with you saying, I'm not satisfied with where I'm at right now. I want to be over there. How do I do it? Okay, well, how much weight do you think you need to lose? Nate, write it down. Write that goal down. All right, that's one area. It's physical fitness, like actually being more active. But then what are you eating? What got you to this point as your default mode? Well, just restrict that. Doesn't mean you have to cut it out entirely. There's going to be some foods you do, or at least severely restrict how much of it that you're taking in. But where along the way can you just scale back? So scale back, right? Okay, what adjustments can I make? Oh, 10-minute walk afterwards, after I eat. That's very doable, right? Oh, how long is this for? Let's see how you feel for 8 weeks, just with your consistency, right? So at this point of saying, I am no longer going to be living my life how I used to live my life, to this is the new routine for 8 weeks and being faithful to it, you're going to see the results. And after that, reassess how you feel about something that's more daunting, like losing 25 pounds, losing 50 pounds, losing 100 pounds. You can do it. So one other thing that I think is very, very vital is doing the thing you don't want to do. And for me, it's veggies. I'm like, I don't know where that came from. I was just not a fan of vegetables, right? Probably has to do with my childhood, but and the way my grandmother would say, you got to sit at the table till you finish it, right? But
for me, it's fruit.
For fruit? All right. Well, actually, I'll put that on pause for a second. I'll come back to that in a second. So with eating good veggies, like dark leafy greens, there's a bunch of ways that you could spice that up, or just say, you know what, this just goes with my meal, right? Either this is the appetizer, or this is my post fun meal that I made. This is what I do in between. You can either front load it, or have a separate, say that's your snack. Say, okay, I used to eat Cheez-Its. Instead of Cheez-Its, I'm having a salad.
It's crunchy.
Nowhere near as satisfying as that salts in strangely odd preserved cheese that doesn't ever go bad. You gotta, how do they do this? How do they engineer this? Right. The whole thing would say, okay, what am I doing for a snack? I know. I used to eat cookies as a snack. I used to eat cheese as a snack. Well, if I know I'm eating this big salad, you don't have to do the math on what you're having for that snack. You have that foresight for the next 8 weeks. This is what you're going to do. So, me personally, I would be eating it as almost practically raw. So, I would have some olive oil on it. I'm indifferent about croutons, right? That's not gonna throw you off your caloric deficit, but it's not having the hidden sugars. So like, if you're going to a fast food place and getting the salad, I'd say skip that salad. See how many calories are in that. Wait, 750 calories in a salad? Yeah, that's not really a salad. That's like a dessert salad, right? So, we just got the alarm that we gotta come to a close. But I wanted to mention this is a part one because this is a little bit complex, or say overwhelming if you're taking this in for the first time. But the whole food formula breaks down to this: calories burned need to be greater than the calories consumed. Right? Burn more calories than you eat and you're good to go. Calories burned need to be greater than the calories consumed, more than the calories that you eat. So a way to do that is to have tight parameters about what you take in. For me, it was eat right for your blood type and tailor fitting it to seeing what foods have a reaction that are not beneficial for people with O blood type, and then staying away from those foods as much as possible, right? Seeing your food as medicine, right? Who said that? Some philosopher said, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food, right? So that's like insight from 4,000 years ago, right? So if you're avoiding the poison, your body's gonna heal and you'll be making strides, so go for it. Tight parameters around what I drink, and then you know what we didn't touch on too hard? Fasting. Well, that's gonna be part of the part two. It's gonna be the intermittent fasting.
I didn't want to be too specific. Oh yes, too specific on the fasting, but yes.
That'll be episode 5. Okay. All right. So this is another episode of You Versus You. I can only give you the key that worked for me. You have to unlock the door and walk through it yourself. Until we meet again.